Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Would you be seated, please? Welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection, and what a beautiful day it is for us to be here. I know that we have a number of people who are visiting with us this morning, and I want to extend the very warmest welcome to you I can. I think at St. James, we feel now like we're finally emerging from the darkness of COVID. And so it's wonderful to be able to worship here together on this Easter Sunday. If you're not that familiar with the Anglican way of doing things, you'll find that in the leaflet and also on the screen, there's been some instructions for how to receive communion. You're very welcome to receive communion, and you can take your tips from how to do that if it's unfamiliar to you. Also in the leaflet describing some upcoming events, next Sunday, two of my staff from Rwanda are going to be present to bring greetings during the 10:30 service. And then following the service, there's going to be a forum in the Westminster Room where we're going to be talking about their life and work in Rwanda and our organization's efforts to train teachers there. So if you're here next Sunday, do plan to stay after church for that. It should be very interesting. Now, we'll continue with worship, and I'd ask you to stand once again. Alleluia, Christ is risen. May his grace and peace be with you.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of our Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord of life and power, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, you have overcome the old order of sin and death and have made all things new in him. May we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, reign with him in glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit is alive, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Acts. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and the other Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
We will rejoice and be glad. Alleluia. my song, and he has become my salvation. There is a sound of exultation and victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed.
But he did not hand me over to death.
All this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and sisters and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Happy Easter, everyone. Won't you please be seated? Well, a few of you might have heard the story which the former Anglican Bishop of Niagara likes to tell on himself. He was visiting one of the very wealthy parishioners in his diocese who had a 1,000-acre horse farm at the very crest of the Niagara escarpment. And when one was out riding, one could see for dozens of kilometers, so high were they up on the bluff. The bishop was offered a horseback ride, and he readily accepted. "Now, my lord," said the gentleman horse breeder, "this is a religious horse you'll be riding. Just remember the right signals, and you do fine. But if you don't, I mean, it's a pretty dangerous spot up there, so be careful. If you want the horse to stop, you just say, 'Amen.' If you want the horse to go at a gentle trot, you shout out, 'Alleluia.' If you want the steed to go at an all-out gallop, you shout, 'Praise the Lord.'" Well, the bishop mounted and was very quickly confused as to those instructions. He couldn't even get the horse going, but eventually he said, "Alleluia," and the horse began to trot. When he was feeling a little bit more comfortable, he said, "Praise the Lord," and the horse shot off like a bolt of lightning towards the cliff. And near they went. "Stop! Whoa! Halt!" he shouted, to no avail. And just in time, he remembered the word, "Amen," and the horse stood right at the brink. And the bishop, with a tremendous sigh of relief, wiped his brow and said, "Praise the Lord." Any jokes told by bishops or on bishops make for good fodder. And the greater truth is that in our Anglican tradition, we don't use religious language very much in our day-to-day speech. We tend to be much more reserved. But let me tell you, it's all right to say, "Praise the Lord," on Easter morning, or in fact, on any other morning. God has done marvelous things for us. We've heard a message of good news today, and we shout it from the rooftops, and not only for today, but for the entire year and our lifetime. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. He conquered the pernicious power of death. Praise the Lord. He promised everlasting life to those who believe in him. Praise the Lord. In a world filled with dire news, you will be delighted that I'm not going to be preaching the headlines today, because it'd be so depressing. We are going through some exceptionally disturbing times in politics and in world affairs, and those of fear are going to linger for some time yet. but we have come through the sorrow and reflectiveness of Good Friday. And I now invite you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to bring health and healing and joy to your sorrows and your worries. This has been an afflicted year for a lot of you, I know. And I invite you to turn towards the empty cross, the vacated tomb, Christ's outstretched arms, and celebrate new Easter life. A short while ago, I was with a friend as he celebrated his very first year of sobriety. At the AA meeting, the leader acknowledged that there were a number of people who were 10, 15, 20 years without alcohol, and the 80 people or so present gave a pretty warm welcome and applause to that. But the loudest applause for the whole evening? Well, there was a young woman called Ellie, about 20 years old, and she stood up to be recognized for 24 hours of sobriety. I've never heard such wonderful applause in my life. Thunderous applause. My eyes were wet with joy. I wanted to shout, "Praise the Lord." Being an Anglican, I didn't. But she had been given victory over her demons for that time. Last month in the church office, Rebecca picked up a phone message. There was a woman who had lived a little while ago in our community, and she now lives in a group home a little bit further distant. But she still was kind of centered in the Old South here, and many, many, many times she had sat in the memorial garden out there just for rest and reflection and a time to think about her life and how it was going. So she had some sort of connection with us at St. James. She was about to move into a slightly larger room in the group home, which had 5 residents, when she discovered a body in the room. And it was a violent, unnecessary, and shocking death that she discovered. The death of her friend and the prospects of moving into a place of such violence shook her to the very core. She wanted a minister to come and bless the house, and who else but somebody at St. James Westminster, where she had some connection to. And with the knowledge of the Canadian Mental Health Association, in fact, with their blessing, we went from room to room to room and asked that God would be present in each of those spaces, restoring the good spirit to the house, making it once again a place of safety, and restoring it again to be a sanctuary for people who didn't have very much in life. And as I was leaving, this woman who had so little gave me a gift. She had spent the day before in the kitchen at the group home cooking, and she had baked 4 cookies, and she had wrapped them in plastic and tied them up with a lovely ribbon and gave them to me as I was leaving. Couldn't say a word. And here I am acting on behalf of Christ. I'm acting on behalf of the whole ministry of the people here at St. James Westminster. I've got to tell you, it doesn't get much better than that. Praise the Lord. A long time ago, I filed a story in the back of my mind, hoping to be able to tell it to you someday. Now is the time. Easter Day. And it's 2 weeks approximately after the death of longtime parishioner and former warden of the parish, Robin Shearer. The story is about something one of his grandchildren said some 14 years ago. Every Sunday for a long, long time, that family would pile into a minivan in their home in Strathroy and drive into London to St. James Westminster. And they would always pass by the intersection at Lambeth Highway 2, and you know where it is, a little cemetery out in front. And 3 young boys in the back of that minivan, it was never quiet, let me tell you. Colin, age 5 at the time, was perhaps the most introspective of the 3. And one day he asked his mother what all the stones in the cemetery represented. And Rebecca, noticing the tombstones, of course, tried her best to explain to a 5-year-old that people died, and when they died, their bodies were buried below the ground. And they talk about what might be on the markers, the name of the person, the date of death, the date of birth, and perhaps a biblical inscription. And there was a long pause. Mummy asked Colin, breaking the silence, "How long do we have to wait?" Mother was a bit confused and said, how long do I have to wait until we die? "No, Mommy, I mean, how long do we have to wait until we come alive again?" I mean, out of the mouths of babes. We have been given a message this morning, and that message has been given for some 2,000 years now, that the tomb is empty, our lives can be full. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too can rise from the dead. Hallelujah. He conquered death. Amen, brothers and sisters. He has promised to reshape our lives and give us strength, not just to survive, but to thrive every day. Praise the Lord. Think of this new life in your week to come in very down-to-earth ways. It might be that you get 100% in your math test, or play a cello piece or a piano piece to perfection. Praise the Lord. It might be that your in vitro test is positive and your cancer biopsy is negative. Praise the Lord. It might be when you are able to cope, even when your worst fears come to pass. Praise the Lord. Remember your old geography lessons? For decades, the southernmost tip of Africa was called the Cape of Storms because just about every ship that tried to sail around it was sunk in the violent waves. But it wasn't until the great Portuguese explorer in the 16th century, Vasco da Gama, sailed it around successfully in better fitted boats and forever gave it a new name. It is now called the Cape of Good Hope. Christ does that for us. He takes the old and the fearful and the insecure and the stormy and remolds them into new and eternal hope. And we praise him for that. So today, we meek Anglicans with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions around the world, in every country and every nation, can shout triumphantly, "Praise the Lord." Amen.
Let us stand as we confess the faith of our baptism, saying, I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please choose a posture which helps you to pray. God of the bright and morning star, God of the rising sun, God of darkness banished, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, we thank you. For disciples running with good news, we thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, we thank you. We celebrate your victory over death, over all the powers that would defeat us. For you are risen. You are risen indeed. Help us to know resurrection, to understand its power, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil in every form, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us toward love and truth. For you are risen.
You are risen indeed.
On this day of great gladness empower us to be your ambassadors proclaiming good news. Good news where we live and love and play. Good news where we toil and struggle. Good news for friends and strangers. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, living hopefully into your new reign. For you are risen.
You are risen indeed.
Today we hold before you and in our hearts all who are grieving. The sick and the dying and those who have asked for our prayers. And today we pray for Dave Burley, Oliver Soulier, Beth Brown, Patrick Conboy, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Emerson Muir, Sylvia Brightwell, John Fryer, Al McMillan, Julia Kreutz, and all the newly baptized, and those others we hold in our hearts. We continue to pray for the selection committee that they may choose a good leader and pastor for this parish. We uphold all the places in the world that are torn by war and bloodshed. We pray for all in our community who live without shelter or other basic needs. Savior Christ, in this world of broken hopes and dreams, we catch sight of your new reign and we live with new hope. For you are risen.
You are risen indeed.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us turn and greet one another with a gesture of Christ's peace.
Thank you.
God, our strength and salvation, receive all we offer you this day, and grant that we who have confessed your name and received new life in baptism may live in the joy of the resurrection through Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us eternal life. Therefore, joining our voices with the whole company of heaven, we sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name.
We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ, and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. God of life, bring us to the glory of the resurrection promised in this Easter sacrament. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Return now to the places where God has given you responsibility. Remember the peace and love we have shared and the new life that is already among us. Have courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who fail. Support the weak. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia.
Thanks
be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.